5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. It's lunchtime. You get us right over your lunch hour. You could take it at 11. You could take it at noon. You could take it at 1. You have the whole show with you. This is where I kind of focus on the top five stories trending in the sports world. So, no, we'll kind of get to that, Sergeant. I answered you by answering you. So, it happens, man. Brand new segment. Excited about this. Top five stories. All right, did you get this one? Dude. This is why Nick Saban drives everybody crazy, okay? Despite winning the SEC last year, beating Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl, and competing in the college football playoff national championship game, Alabama coach Nick Saban looked back on last season and said last year was kind of a rebuilding year. Dude, that's like a rich person in a mansion saying, "Oh, this house is just too small for me. It's just way too small." While you're in your tiny little apartment. Nick Saban, I love greatness. I respect Saban. I respect Alabama, no doubt. But it's comments like that. This is why people can't stand Alabama.
Well, last year was a rebuilding year.
You replaced Mac Jones and Devonta Smith and still did all of those great things. So get out of here with that, man. All right, so this is a cool story. The Los Angeles Dodgers are paying tribute to the legendary broadcaster Vin Scully by wearing a commemorative black patch featuring a microphone and Vin on their uniforms. I would want to get one of those. That's pretty cool looking, man. Have you seen it? The Dodgers shared it on their Twitter page. I think that that's a really cool. I mean, I assumed they were going to do something. They're going to be out of town tomorrow, but they'll be honoring Scully with a pregame tribute that night. Just, it's kind of cool. It's just kind of simple. Vin with a microphone underneath it. So I like that kind of story. I guess this is more of the negative story. I haven't talked a lot about the Brittany Griner stuff, Jades. Brittany Griner was found guilty of drugs possession and smuggling in a Russian court outside Moscow on Thursday, this morning. Her sentence will also be read in court today. Russian prosecutors had asked for a 9.5-year sentence, while Griner's lawyers were seeking the most lenient punishment possible. Wow, this thing has just, it's gotten a little out of hand, right? The judge handed down the verdict stemming from the American basketball star's arrest back in February at a Moscow airport after she was found to have vape cartridges with cannabis oil in her luggage. In its ruling, the court said that Griner committed the crime deliberately. Okay, I don't have a lot of energy on it, but it is a big story. So, yeah. The Miami Dolphins, we know, that whole thing has been crazy, right? They're there to investigate whether or not they were tanking games on purpose, and then they found a whole bunch of other cool things, like the Tom Brady and Sean Payton reach-outs. But here's what the investigation about the tanking games had to say. Dolphins running backs coach Eric Studisville, who was also with the Broncos at one point, who's been with them since 2018, said the team's directive during the 19 season was not questioned as far as he knew. He said, from the top down, the goal was to win football games and prepare and get ready to go. That's how it's always been. So are we putting this one to rest finally? Can we be done with that one? I think so. All right, finally, the standings or the power rankings according to ESPN after the trade deadline. Padres are sitting in fifth place now. I don't know. I had so much fun watching them just annihilate the Rockies that maybe I'm going all in on San Diego. The Rockies have dropped. Well, actually, yeah, they dropped from 22 to 23. Not a big drop-off yet, but it's probably coming. The line says, and we'll finish with this, stay weird, Rockies. That's the line about the Rocks. Stay weird, Rockies. They were the only team not to make a single deal prior to the trade deadline. A shocking approach given where they reside in the standings. Starting pitcher Chad Kuhl, shortstop Jose Iglesias, and relievers Alex Colomé and Carlos Estevez are all pending free agents who could have brought back young players to help bolster the team's future to varying degrees. But for some reason, the Rockies held on to them. Their closer, Daniel Bard, would have been one of the most coveted arms in the market. But instead, they extended him with a 2-year, $19 million contract. The Rockies are nowhere near good enough to contend in a division headlined by the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants. And yet it seems as if they're content with the status quo. It boggles the mind. There you go, man. The national media speaking out about the Rockies. I love that. Stay weird, Rockies. What are we doing here, man? That's crazy. Just, I mean, how bad is it going to get? Does this thing need to get, like, really embarrassing for the rest of the way for anything to happen? I can't imagine Bud Black wants to be around this. Is Bud Black good enough to go somewhere else? Could he go find another opening somewhere and maybe a team that cares a little bit about winning could employ him? I like Bud Black, but, and I'm not saying Bud's the savior either. I mean, at this point, there's really not a bright spot for what we've been seeing for the Rockies. My goodness. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. McClain, oh, you want to go some nuggets here. DeAndre Jordan has the... Where are you coming from with this, McClain? Wow. DeAndre Jordan has the fourth highest field goal percentage in NBA history. Minimum 500 field goal attempts. He's the only player in NBA history to have more than 5,000 shot attempts and also have a field goal percentage of 60% or higher. Okay. McClain coming in out of left field on that one. So are you excited about DeAndre Jordan? Call me 5 years ago, and then I'd be like, holy crap, DeAndre Jordan's a nugget? Sometimes the hooligans just text me. I think you guys are just thinking whatever pops in your mind, you text me and see where I go with it. Well, apparently we wanted to go talk about DeAndre Jordan. I would have probably stuck with the Boogie Cousins route, but do you think he wanted to be a starter? He wanted to be paid like a starter. So the Nuggets looked at that and said, no way. Plus, yeah, Boogie, when the going gets tough, Boogie kind of gets going. He's more of, a little bit dramatic. A lot of bit dramatic, actually. Bama Bear, the standards are just different in Tuscaloosa. Brady Saban continues to adapt and overcome. Listen, I'm a fan of greatness, and I'll always say that. So I got to stay true to that one, Jades. I do applaud Alabama. I do applaud Nick Saban. But get out of here. Last year was a rebuilding year. You were the best, one of the best teams in college football. I mean, there's a reason why he's great. There's a reason why he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest coaches of all time, especially in the college rankings there. Wow. Well, I guess that's how he keeps going. He does adapt. We'll see how he continues to adapt. I have really enjoyed what he's had to say about college football, like in this world of conference realignment like we've never seen before. He's very educated when it comes to all of this. So I find my ears perking up whenever he starts talking about the college football landscape. There's no question about it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you want to shoot us a text. Jades, we've got the belt of greatness for our fantasy football challenge. It doesn't cost anything to get in. We've well established that. You want to be a part of our fantasy football challenge. You want to be in on this. We do it through ESPN. It's free. We do two different leagues. Champions of each league, we'll pit them up against each other at the end and see whoever had the most points throughout the regular season, and then that person gets the belt. And this is like a WWE-style belt. It is a legit-looking belt. You want to win this thing. I mean, it is awesome. So if you want to be a part of that this year, we get you in. The arch nemesis of the show, Dixon, is already in. McClain, you got to get in, man. Your spot is open. If you were in last year, it does not make you automatically in. So here's what I'm going to do, Jades. I'm going to take two of them right now. I need your name. I need a contact phone number or whatever, and then an email address. I need those three things from you so we can reach out to you because we got the draft coming in a few weeks at Cable's Pub and Grill. So do me a favor. Get involved right now. Let's take callers 3 and 6. Stay on hold if you get through the dial tone. You might still be on. Callers 3 and 6. You're in our whole show fantasy football challenge. 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Callers 3 and 6. You're getting in our fantasy football challenge. 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Good The insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're getting close to Friday. Got a new beer release coming, as Weldworks does every single week. Friday new beer releases are at noon on Fridays, so get out there, man. If you guys have never been to Weldworks in downtown Greeley, you're gonna absolutely love it. The environment's great. They got the patio, too. And now they have the annex, so you can eat there as well. You don't have to worry about the food. Food trucks are great and everything, but they're dialed in, man. With what they do with their beer, now they're putting that same care into everything they do with their food as well. Try the double cheeseburger. You will not be sad, I promise you. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Well, kind of the bigger story, the larger story of the day is the NFL yesterday did, in fact, appeal the six-game suspension for Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. They are seeking a tougher penalty under the league's personal conduct policy in the wake of disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson's ruling Monday. Isn't this weird, though? So, like, we hire Sue L. Robinson to try to give some fresh eyes to this approach, and then you don't like the findings. I don't like the findings either. But I also have to say, you know, my unpopular belief in that, as I've talked about this, is if you're going to handle legal matters that ultimately the courts don't deem illegal, I mean, like they couldn't find him guilty. They had some settle, obviously, but there's still a few of these cases that are open, or that not necessarily open, but he didn't settle. The court system, he's out, he's able to go free. And this is the problem with saying, okay, well, we're going to judge it because you guys didn't get it right. We're taking it in-house. Well, they take it in-house, and then they didn't like that ruling either. The NFLPA said before the ruling was handed down, that it was going to be six games, that they would go along with whatever they found. Whatever this ultimately came to be, they would go right along with it. Well, now the NFL's appealing. So here's what's going to happen. They're probably going to get their year. Maybe a big fine. Maybe it'll be an indefinite suspension. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's probably right. With, you know, in conjunction with how the NFL does things or tries to do things. The NFLPA will come back and probably get aggressive here. The union also has a right to appeal Robinson's ruling. But they said that they stand by her decision on Sunday, and they won't appeal regardless of the result. But if the NFL appeals, then they could appeal that. Ugh. The NFLPA has until Friday to file a written response to the NFL's appeal. Sources told ESPN's Jeff Darlington on Wednesday that the NFLPA was preparing to sue the NFL in federal court if it appealed Robinson's decision. This is going to get uglier. Even uglier. Once the NFL, according to what I've read, the NFL will file its NFLPA will file its response, and after that, Goodell will decide to hear the appeal himself or appoint. So wait, the NFL's appealing, and then Roger Goodell's going to hear that appeal. Isn't he the one filing the appeal? Because he's the NFL. He's the commissioner. There's only one person that can file an appeal in this case, and that's Roger Goodell. And then he's going to hear his own appeal? He's going to talk to himself in the car like I do. Is that what he's going to do? No, Brady, you're wrong about this. Nah, actually, I can see why you might go this route, okay? What are we doing here? A source told Darlington on Wednesday that he has yet to formalize a decision on who will do it, and that will be followed by a hearing date. Any appeal must be limited to arguments from the record from the three-day hearing before Robinson in late June, or testimony not previously considered. It will be processed on an expedited basis, according to the NFL's conduct policy. Although NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy said there is no timeline for Goodell or his designee to make a ruling. So this is what gets bad here for the NFL. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because the court of public opinion wants him done for the year, if not indefinitely. I think there is a very small group that believes he shouldn't be suspended at all because they didn't find him guilty. He was not found guilty. And I actually can have that conversation with you. It doesn't mean I don't believe that Deshaun Watson did this. This is one of those where there's a lot of freaking smoke. There is probably a pretty weird, disturbing fire. But by the NFL saying only six games, by Robinson saying only six games, you're saying you believe what he did, but it's only six games. This is where I do think the NFL needs to be black and white in the situation. They need to either never, ever, ever punish players based on a court finding nothing, or they need to throw the book at everyone. Big time, and it needs to be consistent. And how do you be consistent? Just look at the court system. Some guys can do the same crime and get a longer sentence than the other. Just kind of depends on the situation, I suppose. And that's tough because, unlike a lot of those cases, you are dealing with the court of public opinion. And the court of public opinion, for the most part, says, throw the book at him. He shouldn't even be in the league. He damn sure shouldn't play this year. But the NFLPA is probably arguing that, hey, he's not guilty. He's still a player. He's still a player in the National Football League, and we need to represent him just like we do all of our players. And you can make a case for that, too. It's not that they're condoning what he did. It's not that they, and that's, there's some people saying, well, the NFLPA is wrong in this, then. They need to, they're going off of what the courts say and what the courts show, which is he's free to go run around. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. McLean is firing off very random text to us today. McLean says, after winning two back-to-back Super Bowls with Elway, Mike Shanahan's win-loss record for his final four. Are you making up for lost time? Because still talking about Shanny. I guess it's the Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game, a nice distraction for the NFL, right? Tonight. I don't see how you... The ownership in the NFL wants Cleveland punished. They want Deshaun Watson punished. Correct? Yes. Because they didn't want him to offer Deshaun that deal. Because it does make the NFL look bad that Deshaun Watson gets this bangarang contract while he's being investigated. While we're still, I mean, we were still going through this by the, you know, settlements were being discussed and all that stuff while Cleveland offered him that contract or made him that deal. And the ownership group didn't like that. And they wanted the book to be thrown at Deshaun Watson because it's a better look for their game, their business. This is bad for business. It really is. So where Roger Goodell feels pressure, because he works for the owners, he feels pressure to say, all right, I got to make you guys happy. The NFLPA feels pressure because they got to make their players happy. They represent the players. Roger represents the owners. And again, some of you are saying, well, good for Roger Goodell, man. He's going to throw the book at Deshaun. Is what Deshaun Watson did worse than what Ray Rice did? We can argue, but Ray Rice put hands on somebody and knocked her out unconscious where he had to escort her out of the elevator. So I guess we could argue that. I don't know if you want to argue that. That's physical violence that maybe could have potentially did some long-term damage to her. But he was given two games at first and then a year. Should Deshaun Watson's be more than that? Should it be indefinite? Ray Rice was ultimately given a year, and nobody would touch that anymore. Nobody would re-sign him. But Cleveland's already proven that they will sign him. This, okay, can we just use this as a quick lesson, too? I'm just going to use this. People are going to get pissed off, Jades. Let this be a lesson to you. The Colin Kaepernick kneeling stuff, all of it, maybe it was an issue at first. It ain't anymore. Cleveland proved that it is not about Colin Kaepernick's off-the-field stuff, him being a political activist. Can we put that to bed finally? Because Cleveland signed Deshaun Watson knowing, having to know, that deep down he probably did all of these things, but he wasn't found guilty, so we're going to sign him and because he's still good. Deshaun's still a top quarterback, correct? From what we've seen, he's still one of the best in the league right now, or based on 2 years ago. So let that just be a short lesson today. The Colin Kaepernick stuff, stop it. He's not good enough anymore to be in the league. Cleveland just proved that they don't care what you did. We will still sign you. 31 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. Joining me now, Kevin Lytle. He is our Colorado State Rams insider, and we'll be looking forward to catching up with him on a weekly basis, as we always do. But I'm ready to talk X's and O's with you, Kevin. We've had a lot of speculation about what Jay Norvell's team's going to look like, this Fort Air Raid, high-flying attack. We saw spring ball, but that's spring ball. We're getting kind of into a little bit of the real thing. Not the real thing yet, but practice starts bright and early tomorrow morning. Kevin, my man, how are you?
Doing awesome. It's been a while. Good to be back.
Dude, I know. You got to get away a little bit, right? Because it just, for the longest time, you're just nonstop going after it. A crazy basketball season. A lot of drama with football. You got a chance to get away for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, mid, late July is kind of the getaway time for kind of everyone in the college sports industry. So yeah, it's nice to get a little reboot. And like you said, it's ready to rock and roll now.
All right, so after you've kind of taken a mental break, you know, you get away from it all. Because we saw spring ball, and I think we all, you know, you were out there every waking hour. I was out there a little bit. It was really fun. We were really excited. Oh, wow, you know, no matter what, they're throwing the ball in the air. Now that you've taken a little step away and you're getting ready to jump right back in, where's your head at, man? I mean, are you still looking at this team going, man, either way you slice it, this is going to be really exciting this season.
Yeah, I think it's very intriguing. I'm excited to see, you know, a few weeks from now when all this really gets put into action. Obviously, the start of preseason camp is exciting in a lot of ways, but, you know, it's still practices for a long time without games. But definitely very excited to see how all this comes together. I mean, I think all the signs in spring were pretty positive. Obviously, the first test, real test, is a doozy of one. But no, I mean, the excitement from fans, and I'm right there with them to see what this all looks like.
Yeah, I was talking to Jesse Kurtz yesterday with the Mountain West Network. And, of course, he loves the Mountain West. He's going to talk up a lot of these teams. And rightfully so, the Fresno States, the Boise States, and the Air Force are getting a lot of the accolades. He was pretty excited, though, pretty pumped to see what Jay Norvell can do as soon as this season. He's thinking, man, this could be a positive year now. I mean, you know, the negative view might be, okay, well, if it's going to happen, it's not going to be this season. Still a young quarterback, completely new system. But Jesse was more optimistic that this could be a quick turnaround for Jay Norvell and his crew.
Yeah, and this is where the transfer portal really plays a role. You know, in the previous days when you had a coaching change, it took several years to get the right players to that system, especially if you were, I mean, just imagine 10 years ago, if you're trying to go from the Adazio ground and pound system to a Norvell air raid system, it would take 3, 4, 5 years to get the personnel right. Whereas now, you know, it's not 100% how they would like it, but they can absolutely run their offense and their system with the players they were able to bring in, and that does lead to, you know, quick turnarounds. Obviously, Utah State is the prime example. Last year, what they did was incredible. I think there's some elements of lightning in a bottle that's hard to completely recreate that, but I really don't think it's ludicrous to think CSU can have a solid year, and You know, kind of the line I keep drawing is I think a bowl, being bowl eligible, is a very reasonable hope for this team and for fans. And, yeah, the Mountain West, obviously they have to be careful with what they say publicly, but I'm certain that they enjoy what Colorado State is spitting out into the world now more than they did what was coming last year. So I think it's very fair to think that this can be a very positive season at Colorado State.
And boy, that's you took the words right out of my mouth, because, you know, again, those top three teams in the conference certainly going to go on and do some fun things and represent this conference well. But Jay Norvell right now, I feel like there's a beacon suddenly. Canvas Stadium is so gorgeous, and I want to see that thing full. I remember the Oregon State game, when, you know, the first game there, Kevin, it was such a fun environment. You could feel the on-campus stuff. From that point, it just continued to dwindle down. And it does feel like there's this light. You know, you see at those, like, boat shows or whatever, this giant light is flying out of Canvas Stadium saying, hey, look at us. We might be doing something over here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, CSU needed this energy. Obviously, on-field results do need to come, but everything in the offseason has been great. And I was just talking to someone about this, about an hour ago. Kind of no matter what happens in that Michigan game, I really expect Canvas to be rocking for that Middle Tennessee home opener. I just think fans are really excited. You know, we saw the students did really well last year. It was basically until the on and off field product forced them to disengage because it was so bad that it dwindled. But early on, it was really good. Obviously, they were really good in basketball season. So I think that student energy will really carry over. I hope it does. And, hopefully the city follows along. But, signs seem to be pretty good. People seem pretty excited. People that were very jaded and turned off, at last November, December, are now talking to me about how excited they are for the season. So that's a great sign.
Kevin, have you heard anything, from your sources or anything about ticket sales? I mean, are you seeing any kind of an uptick? Are you hearing about any kind of an uptick as far as, you know, people putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak?
Yeah, to be honest, haven't checked in on those, recently. So that's something I'll be doing here in camp as we get closer to the season. Tangentially hearing, a lot of people excited, either considering getting tickets back or they did renew their tickets when they weren't going to. I've heard about some people or groups, maybe I should say, going in for some of those luxury boxes, which financially those are really important for CSU. So I'll be interested to see what the numbers do end up as, when we get into early September. I think there are often multiple surges. With the coaching change, there's probably one right after it. Probably another little surge in spring, as people get excited about spring ball. And then another one kind of here in camp as people are like, oh gosh, the season's here. The team looks like they could be decent. Maybe we'll go in for tickets. So yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what that number looks like.
Yeah, me too. Because it does seem like you're hearing the buzz. People are excited. Jay Norvell, his players, his staff, I mean, they've certainly been out there. They've been making the rounds. Norvell's been all over the place. He was on with Jim Rome not too long ago. He was on the Rockies broadcast the other day for CSU Day. And I know all the colleges are kind of doing that thing, but he was so articulate, so fun to listen to. I was kind of blown away that Rome brought him in, but that's Norvell's NFL background. He is in the know. He has a lot of guys in the professional sports industry that I think makes this situation even more popular.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be out in places like that. And obviously, some of the things you heard on the Jim Rome show were pretty funny. The line that keeps jumping out to me is, well, you can't score if you don't try. that had me thinking back to some other times. All that's good. And those are the really public ones, but he's also, spoken to the College of Business. He's gone around the state to various events. He's talked to a lot of the ag folk. He has been in a lot of places, both very public, like the Rome show and the Rockies game, and a little bit more private settings too, where maybe a small group, but it's really important to them that they heard from him, and all that's important. You have to do all of it. And it seems like he has been. Like I say, eventually you're going to have to win on the field, but they haven't had that chance yet. Norvell has kind of won everything you can, and his staff as well. I mean, the recruiting is really popping. they really couldn't be doing more to make people excited, which, you know, it's pretty incredible, the turnaround.
Well, and don't you like the attitude, though? Because sometimes you hear offensive-minded coaches go, no, we're going to, you know, we got a good running game. We're going to be working that into the... They make no bones about it. They're like, hey, we're chucking the ball, man. Just get ready.
Yeah, they are not shy about it. They're very comfortable in their skin of what they do. And I actually really liked the, I guess, philosophy talk on the Rome show of, you know, hard run games. They always talk about, you know, break the will of the defense and everything. And he said, that's what our attack does. It's just do it through the air. You know, if we throw deep on you 15 times, how confident are you that you're going to stop every one of those? You know, that wears on your DBs. You're getting freaked out if you're going to get torched on the next play. I thought that was pretty fascinating conversation of it's just a different way to try and panic defenses, basically. And we completely believe in it, and we will force them to be really, really good from play one to play, you know, 80 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and don't you think that I think there's so much truth to that, too, because if I'm a defense and I got you to 3rd and 12, I'm not celebrating at all. I'm thinking, man, the way they throw the ball here, they could easily pick that up. 3rd and 12, whatever, that's demoralizing. Steve Adazio, I don't think, picked up many of those 3rd and 12s.
Yeah, I mean, just think of it. You're sitting in the stands as a fan. You got beverage. When the quarterback turns around and hands off to Ryan back, you feel a sense of dread in your stomach. No.
No.
But when you see the quarterback drop back and, you know, lean back and start to heave it, there's a little part of you that's going, oh, no, what's going to happen here? Especially if it's a good, you know, Broncos fans. What happens when you face Patrick Mahomes and you see him gearing up one of those bombs? You're not feeling great, are you?
No, not at all.
So I think that's, you know, maybe... I think the new age of football, you know, you still have some of these classic old school folks that think you don't win that way. But I think you're seeing that change more and more. And I, you know, just logically, it makes sense to me that when you're throwing, you know, deep balls and, you know, intermediate routes like that, that causes some panic in teams because it's hard to defend that all the time.
All right, so what are we looking for tomorrow, Kevin? I'm going to be out there with you bright and early. 7 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock, and it is kind of interesting. You know, we talked in the spring how they were doing split practices with, you know, the ones and the threes and the twos and fours. It gets a lot of reps for especially guys lower down the depth chart to try and create depth. So they're doing that the first couple weeks of camp here before school gets started. Obviously, once school gets going and once you get into true game day prep, you move into full, you know, team practice mode. But they're doing that, so I think it's a good idea. I like that. So I guess to basically just completely jump in and cut you off, that's one of the things I think is an intriguing part of camp here.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I guess you see this sometimes, but this is relatively new, and this is what I'm seeing, like Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, he's kind of doing away with 7-on-7s, which is apparently a big deal to some. You've got CSU doing this kind of different thing, how they're doing different sessions, so to speak. Like you said it, new age stuff. I mean, people freak out at this, but I tend to like it, man. There's when we rewrite things, sometimes it works out and it makes it exciting. We don't have to be set in our ways.
There's a lot new with this staff. I mean, obviously those, you know, the offense obviously isn't new from what CSU's been doing. You know, it's a pretty young staff top to bottom. You have some really young coaches. And, you know, they do a lot of kind of advanced technology stuff. We've seen the guys, you know, with the VR technology and, you know, guys wearing basically GoPros so that they can study film, you know, literally from their perspective on plays. It's a lot of stuff that we haven't seen at CSU before.
Yeah, no question, man. And it's exciting to see it, to hear it, to see the Twitter stuff, to see all of it go crazy. I'm ready to see it tomorrow. But Kevin, before I let you go, how much of this, though? Clay Millen, I'm excited. I know we're going to be working with Clay on a weekly radio show here, so we're looking forward to that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have a quarterback that can handle everything that these guys are drawing up.
Yeah, and, you know, that's obviously one of the biggest question marks. I think everyone... You know, Clay looks really good in practice. The staff, which obviously has a history of quarterback success, really likes him. But he's, you know, he hasn't played since he is a senior in high school. His first game is going to be Michigan, so right in the deep end kid. And so I think even the staff knows, you don't know 100% what it's going to look like live. And, you know, to be real honest, he's probably going to be a lot different quarterback week 12 than he is week one, just because of the growth pattern for especially a young guy. But again, in preparation, it seems like he has done and has all the tools that you can ask for. And that's, you know, really all you can hope for. He's been in the system now, you know, since he entered college. So he does know it. But yeah, until, you know, a real game happens, you don't 100% know what's going to happen.
I love, though, first game, Michigan. I mean, here we go. Let's just throw him in the fire.
ABC, it's the first Saturday kickoff of that opening weekend. Wow. I mean, you couldn't really draw up more eyeballs for, you know, a team, especially a team that's coming off a pretty bad season. So a great opportunity. And like I say, other than health, you know, that's always one concern. But other than health, it's kind of a win-win. I mean, if you get blown out by Michigan, it's not like anyone's hitting the panic button. So you kind of have a lot of wiggle room to try and create some successes in different levels.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kevin, my man, we'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I know you're going to have write-ups and you have your, I love your mail back, everything you do to get people involved and asking questions. And I know we're going to try to start answering some of those questions coming up. Quickly, before I let you go, I had Ellison Hubbard on yesterday. And he brought up who his first matchup is. Sam Houston State's playing A&M. Ellison is so excited at who's going to be on that sideline coaching the offensive line. He brought it up. I was going to go there, but he brought it up.
Yeah, I had not noticed that until I saw you tweet
it
about
either.
It. And yeah, and I saw Ellison kind of post about it on social media last night. And yeah, I'll have to have an eye on that one, because I am sure he would thoroughly enjoy a sack that game, so no doubt. So, I mean, obviously, I think everyone assumes and expects A&M will probably kind of roll Sam Houston.
Oh, sure,
But Ellison certainly has a little personal battle for himself, so that will be an intriguing one to watch, no doubt.
I did ask if he was going to go shake his hands. I totally think he should do the, hey, fake you out number, like psych. I think he should do that. I think that would be great entertainment. Kevin, my man, we're catching up tomorrow, too, because we got some things in the work that we're cooking with you guys at the Coloradoans, so I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Maybe just hang out for the weekend, man. Let's just make a few days of it.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year where Colorado and KFK, we just kind of roll deep together.
I love it, my friend. Wouldn't have it any other way. Appreciate you as always.
Awesome.
I'll see you bright and early in the morning, my man.
Absolutely. See you tomorrow, Brady.
All right, there. 12:51 the time. Let's wrap up this first hour on the other, or second hour. We're going 3 hours, Jades. We got the 1 o'clock hour coming up. I'll get to today in the NFL, more on my poll question, all that and more. Also, Joe Parker. We're going to have him on the show tomorrow. But how much of Joe Parker's legacy hinges on Jay Norvell being successful in these next couple of seasons? All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Oh, make me over.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Well, 56. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Their number, just write this down and have it, 970-567-0798. Maybe you're sitting listening to us in your house somewhere. Maybe you're in the office. Maybe in your car. You're thinking about how great the air conditioning is in the car, but how miserable it is at home because you can't get the temperature figured out. Something's wrong with that AC unit. Remember, these things are working extremely hard in the summer. So there's a decent chance something's going to go wrong at some point, and you need somebody reliable to get out there and fix it for you. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that HVAC system up to date, rolling, so you don't have to worry about coming home and jumping into the swamp. You want to make sure it's good and comfortable when you get home after a long day of work. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Weld County Swami texting in, it just amazes me what people look past. People were lining up for signatures from Deshaun right after the suspension over at camp. I didn't even see that. I didn't see that. People were, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's the power of the NFL. It's power of fame and all of that stuff. It's the whole situation with Deshaun Watson. I don't know that there's an easy answer necessarily, but I know the NFL hasn't had a history of making these things easy answers. All right, second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Today in the NFL, right around the corner.